The first reading from the book of the prophet Nehemiah always seemed strange to me until this week. Somehow or another, it all began to make sense. It probably was because of an interpretation of it that I heard that I had never heard before. But anyway, the story is about Ezra reading the scriptures to the chosen people. And what the background is, which is very important that we kind of think about, is that the chosen people had been in exile. They were in Babylon for over 100 years. And during that time, they didn't have any of their temple or synagogue services. That was all banned. They weren't allowed to read their scriptures. They weren't allowed to study their history. They were not allowed to pray as they were accustomed to praying. The rules of fasting that they had and dietary rules, all of that was kept from them. They were not allowed to do that. So you figure for 100 years, they were deprived of this. 100 years, what is that? A couple of generations? Two or three? And so all of a sudden, the generations are coming up that know nothing of the law. They know nothing of their history. They know nothing of who they are as the people of God, as the chosen people. So when they are finally released and allowed to go back to their own land, they come to Jerusalem and find it in ruins, and everything's kind of a mess, and it's all gone, and the people are probably deeply depressed by all of this. They know nothing of who they really are. And so Ezra takes the scriptures, and he reads to them. Men, women, and those children old enough to understand. And he did it for hours and hours. And the people wept. They rejoiced. And they did all of this wonderful stuff because all of a sudden they had a new sense of who they are, that they were the chosen people of God. And that had been kept from them for 100 years or more. So, the Word of God had the ability to transform those people because they listened to it. They wanted to take it into their hearts. They wanted to take it into their lives. And that Word of God was able and did transform them so that they could once again be the chosen people of God. In our own history, in our own country, in our own world today, say the communists for a long period of time, did all that they could to destroy any sense of religion, any sense of God. Everything was the state. And somehow or another, they tried to enforce that for years. Some of you may have lived under some of that. And so what the consequence was that a lot of people did grow up knowing nothing of who they were, as Catholic people. Their traditions were, they were not allowed to celebrate their traditions, except maybe secretly for those who had the courage to do that. But as a consequence, religion kind of became kind of non-topic. It wasn't that important anymore. The state substituted everything for God. And I think in our own time, fortunately communism didn't last long enough to accomplish all that because the people still were close enough generation-wise that they had that spirit, that faith within them that they desperately tried to keep alive, maybe in small groups, in their small communities, in their families, but somehow or another they tried to keep that alive. It was very important to them. And as a consequence, Christianity has, once communism was overthrown, it began to thrive once again. But it has, I think it has in our world today an even greater enemy. I think the Word of God has a greater enemy than it's ever had. And it's kind of a multifaceted thing. The Word of God frequently is a subject of mockery. Or an object of mockery, that you don't believe that stuff. I mean, who in this age today with all of our intelligence, with all of our wonderful inventions, with all of the stuff that we have, who still believes all that stuff? So that's passed off pretty commonly as, you know, you're just really kind of out of touch if you still believe that. And so we're kind of inclined sometimes to listen. And unfortunately, it does make a difference. It makes a change in us. So you have that part of it, whereas you don't want to be part of the object of mockery. You don't want to be made a fool of. You don't want to be considered an out-of-touch person. Everybody wants to be part of the crowd. So we kind of fall for that. And then there's another real problem with it, and that's indifference. That there, so much of our faith life today, it kind of, well, you know, does it really make that much difference? Is it really something that I should get that excited about? Is it really something that I should really care about, or who's gonna know what difference it makes? I mean, eternity for everybody seems a long way off until you face death. So, as a consequence, we lose a sense of who we are as the people of God, as the body of Christ on earth. We kind of forget that. St. Paul points out that it doesn't make any difference who you are. If you are part of that body of Christ, you are an important part. Because every part of the body functions together, and the body only works extremely well when all of the parts are functioning the way they're supposed to. So when the body of Christ is damaged, the whole body suffers. It does not have the ability to accomplish and to do what Christ wants us to do. So I think it's important for us to kind of think about this word of God. It defines who we are if we really believe in Jesus Christ. The word of God defines who we are and what we are supposed to be about. And if we kind of put it on the shelf and just say, well, maybe they're right, maybe it doesn't make that much difference, we all suffer. We all suffer as a consequence. So it's important for us, I think, every one of us, to realize that word of God is not something that's just a book that collects dust in our house. It is the living word of God. It defines who and what we are as Christian people. But if we know nothing about it, if we are not interested in it, how can we fulfill this mission that Christ had of going into the world and transforming the world, taking care, giving honor to God, taking care of the poor, the needy, the sick, and doing all of those marvelous things that he was able to accomplish? So, you know, we think like some, remember the old days, we used to say, to attend Mass, if you hit the essentials, that was all that was required. So it was the offertory, consecration, and communion. Remember that? Some of you old-timers will. But Vatican II changed all of that and said, no. The Word of God is an essential part of who we are. And we have to have that so that we can grow and live and be what we are called to be. But it's important for us. We see it so often. You know, kids come home from school, and of course, peers are very, very influential for young kids. So they say, well, they don't go to church, it's not necessary. It's not important to, you know. I mean, what difference does it make if you go into a store and rip them off, you know, and steal a few things? I mean, they didn't catch you. As long as you didn't get caught, you're all right. So there's no value, there's no principle, there's no guide for their life. They don't know who they are. They don't know they're Christian. And that's supposed to be our guide. But how can it be our guide if we don't know anything about it? If we never bother to look at it? If we never bother to really deeply listen and allow that word to change our lives so that it's not just rattling off another story. It is God speaking to us, telling us who we are, what we are called to be, and giving us the help and the guidance and the courage and all of those things that we need to accomplish that mission in our world. So the next time you hear this reading from the book of Nehemiah, think about that. Think about how that word of God really defines us, like it did the chosen people. When they realized once again who they were, that they really were a very special group of people that God specially chose and favored in so many ways. When they realized that, they wept with tears of joy and probably tears of sorrow that they didn't know about it a lot sooner. We have an extremely important call in this world. We have all been called to be the living presence of Jesus Christ in this world. We say, well, when's God going to do something? When's he going to change some of this nonsense that we have to deal with in our world today? We keep saying, when's he going to do something? He did. He gifted us and said, I send you. You are to take my message to our world. You are the ones that are supposed to be the sign, the wonder of the Messiah in this world, of the Savior. You are supposed to be the guide. You're supposed to be the center. But if we don't know who we are, how can we do that? St. Paul says, we are the body of Christ. All of us together form that perfect body in this world. He gave us a mission to go proclaim the good news to everybody, and especially to take in consideration the poor, the outcast, and those who have no one seems to care about. That's our mission. That's part of our mission. But we are sent to make our world, to give our world a direction, and to direct them to God. So it is extremely important. It is not some nonsense. It is not some pious tale that doesn't make any difference anymore because we're beyond that technologically and intellectually and every other way. We far surpassed any of that. But the Word of God lives and is still very much alive, but we've got to hear it, we've got to know it, and we've got to live it. And it's in that way that we will accomplish what we are supposed to accomplish as the body of Christ on earth.